Hello, welcome to episode 3 of this series of having a natter and hopefully having a laugh.
Oh, what a right laugh we will definitely have today. Oh. Hello, I'm David Tolito.
And I'm Simon Robinson, and we bid you welcome.
Welcome indeed.
To this episode, Dave, it's the banter section, which I know everyone enjoys.
Yeah, what which we have banter about. Let's all look, there's a crane outside the window.
Yeah.
They're building a new sort of outdoor communal area for our offices. It's all looking very lovely.
Yep.
There's a big sign saying opening summer of 2023 downstairs, which, given that we're recording this in March 2024, perhaps needs to be removed. But when it is open, I'm sure it'll be really nice.
Yeah. You can't ask for better banter than that.
No, you really can't.
I don't think there's anything else that we can banter.
You were telling me about a time where you once met Lee Sharp in a jacuzzi, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Met Lee Sharp. Well, I wouldn't say I met him. I sat silently beside him,
yeah,
thinking, oh, don't embarrass yourself. Lee Sharp being an ex-Man United player.
Yeah. I mean, there are probably other Lee Sharps are available.
Yes. Yeah. So if you are called Lee Sharp, you're thinking, I don't remember meeting him in a jacuzzi.
Yeah. Probably wasn't you. It was probably another Lee Sharp. Yeah.
If you are that Lee Sharp, you might even say then, when was this? It was in David Lloyd in Leeds.
Yeah. Not to be confused also with Lee Evans. It's another famous Lee there, very famous comedian who was in Hollywood films for a while, wasn't he? And then he wasn't. I don't know why.
And then Lee Majors, who played the $6 million man.
Yeah. Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley. There's Levi Jeans.
Yep.
So loads of Lees.
Loads of Lees.
So
what a little insight into the level of fun we have in the office this has been.
Yeah. And that's the banter section. Over.
Over. Did it ever really start?
No, that was particularly poor.
Yeah. Although, highly poor banter being highly relevant to the case that we're going to be talking about today. So, excellent segue and link there.
Very, very good. Now, this is a case of Richardson v. West Midlands Trains Limited.
Yeah. Held in Watford by CVP.
Yeah.
That's Cloud Video Platform.
Yeah.
Acronym FAT or Initialism.
Initialism FAT.
Initialisms are, well, acronyms are initialisms that form a word in themselves, such as NATO.
Yeah.
Initialisms don't form a word in themselves, like so CVP. We realized that late on in our acronym conversations, didn't we? And realized we'd been utter fools by using the word acronym when it should have been initialism. So we hope we've taught you a valuable lesson there, one that you'll adopt going forward.
I thought so. Maybe it's something to gather the grandkids around and tell them all about it. So
it's certainly an interesting fact when you're talking to your friends, isn't it?
Well, it's a fact.
Yeah. Well, probably I think it's very interesting. Make sure you start all conversations today with, do you know what the difference between an initialism and an acronym is? And people will be riveted by you. You'll probably meet your new life. If you haven't got one already, probably meet your new life partner.
Ooh, that's quite a promise.
Yeah, if you have one already, you might be a better one.
So, incidentally, we're also branching out into divorce law. So, no, we're not. So,
not escorting, no. I was going to say.
No, of course not.
We already do that.
So, right, we are, what did I say? We tell about the case. It's Richardson v. West Midlands Trains Limited.
Yeah, so it's a claim for unfair dismissal and wrongful dismissal. So I'm going to talk a little bit about facts, and then Simon's going to do a bit of a section on the law.
Ooh.
So the claimant was employed as a train driver. He was employed from April 2018 until his dismissal on the 24th of November 2022. The respondent, it says in the judgment, is a large employer operating sites across significant parts of the country, and it has a dedicated human resources department and comprehensive disciplinary policies, and it trains its staff on them. No, probably no pun intended there, by the judge, but if he did intend it, good on him.
Yeah.
It trains its staff on them and has a suite of training modules and relevant information on the intranet. And by the way, I don't know if the judge is a man or so casual sexism there. I hope I'm not guilty of it. 50% chance not being guilty of casual sexism.
Yeah.
Which is pretty high.
Well,
chance.
Someone said you had a 50% chance of winning the lottery, you'd be like, wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
So anyway, I thought I'd read out that paragraph because it does show that where you are an organisation with a sophisticated HR department and sort of well-developed policies, you are going to be held to a higher standard than a one-man band operating a small operation with minimal policies. That's not an excuse not to have policies, by the way. If you are a large organization, then you're going to be expected to have them and probably criticized even more if you don't.
Are there many employment tribunal claims brought by one-man bands? Because wouldn't they just be suing themselves?
Yeah, that is true. And also, I'd like to think that we're too busy practicing at their music to bring employment tribunal claims.
Yeah. Is that what you would say as a judge?
On there on the word band.
Do it again.
So one man band.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sort of phrase.
Yeah, I get it.
Band is also
What was the second sentence? I didn't hear the second bit. You said one man band. And
I'd like to think they were too busy practicing to bring employment tribunal claims. Practicing their music playing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can cut this bit. So the claimant was dismissed for gross misconduct. Why not even cut it? The claimant was dismissed for gross misconduct.
It's still worse than anything I've done. Yeah. So, yeah.
So the claimant was dismissed for gross misconduct on the basis he bullied driver A. So driver A was an unnamed colleague with whom he worked. Firstly, he placed a tarantula's shed exoskeleton. And secondly, on a later occasion, he put a shed snake skin in her pigeonhole at work. Second occasion was after he'd been told by her that she didn't want him to do such things in the future. So the first occasion happened because the claimant and driver A had a conversation wherein the driver A had said that she was scared of sort of insects or spiders, or was described in the judgment as creepy crawlies. So he put the exoskeleton of the tarantula in her pigeonhole on the 4th of August. And the tribunal said that the claimant had hoped to elicit a reaction of momentary shock, followed by light-hearted relief on realization the object was merely a shed skin and not a live tarantula. Ooh. And I like this sentence. The evidence shows the respondent's officers understood the concept of pranking. Absolutely brilliant from the judge. Driver A was distressed by the episode and couldn't deal with the exoskeleton. She required a colleague to clear it from her pigeonhole. Sometime later still, the claimant encountered driver A, and it was recorded in the judgment that it's accepted that the claimant first raised the exoskeleton. And the driver A called the claimant conscious. You might have kids in the car, perhaps, whilst listening to this. So just an effing T, I'll say. So she called him an effing T, and the claimant raised the prospect of leaving a snakeskin on a later occasion. And driver A recollected saying to him, "I wouldn't like that." He said, "What are you going to do, report me?" She said, "Yes." The claimant said in his investigation meeting that he genuinely didn't realise she was upset and he just thought it was normal banter. The dismissing officer, when they came to consider this, found that the claimant had understood driver A's objections to the pranks but chose to ignore it. And the focus of the appeal was on the severity of the sanction only, not the facts that had already been found, but the appeal officer still considered that issue of what the claimant understood to a certain extent. At a later date, on or around the 12th of September, the claimant then placed a snake skin in driver A's pigeonhole. Driver A was once again distressed when she found it and reported the event orally to her line manager. She then sent an email complaint which said that finally the snake skin has made me feel apprehensive and I felt my concentration has been off for the last few days. There was a formal investigation involving an interview with driver A and an interview with the claimant. Now, at his investigation meeting, the claimant presented a written letter of apology. It was right at the start of the meeting. And that letter started by saying, "I would like to start this meeting by offering my sincere apologies to driver A." And he also said at the meeting that he would like, if possible, to apologize to her directly. The judgment says that surprisingly and alarmingly, the respondent has not been able to confirm whether or not the letter of apology was ever transmitted to driver A. And the judge said on the balance probabilities, they found that it was not. So there was a recommendation for a disciplinary hearing, and the tribunal made findings that the investigation report was flawed. So there was a clear error in the report, which stated when the report stated that it was firmly refuted by driver A, there was nothing of note to lead up to the events. And the judge also recorded that there were some firm findings made without recording issues that were disputed or accurate recording claimant's version of events. So just pausing there, it seems to me that this illustrates a general point, which is that if you are a disciplinary hearing officer charged with hearing a disciplinary hearing and there is a report then don't simply rely on that report, because if it is flawed in any way, ultimately you are the one making the decision. If you feel there are further investigations that are necessary, you need to go back and clarify anything or consider further evidence, then do that. Don't simply rely blindly on an investigation report. So the judge found the report was noticeably one-sided. However, the company did decide to proceed to a disciplinary hearing for gross misconduct, categorized as or described as placing offending items in the pigeonhole allocated to a colleague, which has caused the individual to feel bullied, harassed and intimidated, contravention of the bullying and harassment policy. Ultimately, he was summarily dismissed for gross misconduct. The tribunal said that importantly, the dismissing officer demonstrated his belief that an apology may well have been sufficient resolution to the matter. And they said, when you had your first interview, we talked about chances to resolve things informally. There is a responsibility on you to say, I get it. Please let me sit down with her, give her a heartfelt apology and sort this out at this point. Later on, the dismissing officer again suggested that there may have been an opportunity to address matters through an informal process. So broader lessons there are pay attention to what has happened in previous investigations and do read reports as well. So the other finding from the dismissal letter that I thought was of note was that the findings referred to placing a colleague into a state of shock, which could have serious implications to the driver and the public and the traveling public. And that, I think, is an example of over-egging the pudding to some extent, because actually there was no evidence that the driver A's reaction to the pranks had been, you know, anything that would put the public at risk or impair her driving ability at all.
And some puddings shouldn't even have eggs.
Yeah, quite a lot of puddings, actually. Yeah. Like just, I mean, strawberries and cream.
Just jelly of eggs? Probably
no,
not.
No, if you were to put eggs on jelly, imagine some jelly at a kid's party.
A fried egg.
And you put a fried egg or some scrambled eggs. Oh, imagine a poached egg at a kid's party with jelly and ice cream. Absolutely disgraceful. Although I think ice cream might have eggs in it. I think it's got egg yolk in it.
But that's not.
But just jelly.
Just
don't
jelly.
Think a fried egg on jelly.
No, or chocolate. Well, are there eggs in chocolate, maybe?
Don't think so. No. General lesson from this case, therefore, is don't put eggs on inappropriate objects or in foodstuffs.
Yeah, not just foodstuffs, but, on a book.
Yeah, or a computer. Yeah. Don't put a fried egg on your keyboard. It's utterly ridiculous behaviour. Why would you even do that?
Why are you thinking about that?
God, that's crazy.
I'm embarrassed for you. Anyway.
So, there was an appeal, which obviously wasn't successful. And just before we move on to Simon, the tribunal did make reference in quite some detail to relevant policies that the respondent has. So, again, another point we've made before, think, which is that if you've got a policy, make sure you have regard to it during the process, because the tribunal will, if it gets that far.
What do you always say, Div?
The only thing worse than not having a policy on an important matter is having a policy and not applying it.
Wise.
Indeed. There was the bullying and harassment policy, which specifically said that mediation can be a good way of dealing with bullying, discrimination or harassment situations, and had a very broad definition of bullying, which included unintentional misunderstandings and lack of awareness. And then the disciplinary policy itself, they had regard to, and the tribunal said that reading the two policies together, it's very clear the respondent does not consider all acts of bullying to constitute gross misconduct or even serious misconduct.
Crikey. Thank you, David. So the tribunal went on to consider all the evidence, and I'm going to consider, they also considered, obviously, whether the investigation was reasonable, did they hold a genuine belief on reasonable grounds? And the bit that I'm going to focus on is, was the decision to dismiss within the range of reasonable responses to the claimant's misconduct? And the judge said, it is important to take a step back and look at the basic facts behind this case. The claimant played two childish pranks involving placing firstly a tarantula's shed exoskeleton and subsequently a snake skin in a colleague's pigeonhole. He himself is comfortable handling exotic pets. Neither item was concealed, could move or could cause any physical injury. He performed the pranks on a colleague who he suspected would have a brief, uncomfortable reaction. Driver A had far greater reaction than he had anticipated. The first item was more lifelike and understandably caused greater distress. After a brief exchange about it, where Driver A sought to bring an end to the pranks, The claimant placed a snakeskin in her pigeonhole. It was less lifelike and less distressing. It was, though, a concern to driver Ed because it made her feel more intimidated. She had believed she had clearly requested the claimant not to perform any further pranks. But the tribunal also said this was not a covert bullying campaign the claimant had instigated to seek to unstable her. If he had had the chance, he likely would have raised it with directly with driver Ed the next time he saw her, as he'd done previously, expecting to generate further, quotes, banter, close quotes. Driver A quite rightly asked her manager to ensure the unwanted pranks were brought to an end. She did not suggest she wanted any particular sanction to ensue, or that her working relationship with the claimant had been destroyed, or that she needed counselling, or she wished to be placed on lighter duties for a period, or have time off, or anything similar to that. The claimant immediately admitted what he did, as Dave rightly said. As soon as he realised the distress he had performed, he apologised for it and committed not to perform any further pranks. The respondents' officers found his apology insincere. Whether or not they considered it insincere, said the tribunal, he had apologised on numerous occasions. He had never performed pranks at work previously. His actions resulted in no serious hurt or consequence, and on any rational view could not have done so. And then the tribunal concluded with, it is very difficult to see how this sequence of events comes close to warranting dismissal. Except that intentionally performing pranks contrary to a direct request would render a matter more serious than the prank itself, but the nature of the childish pranks in this case is important context. The pranks didn't involve any risk of physical harm to driver A. They were not of an abusive nature. I cannot accept that it would have been reasonable to consider the claimant's actions overall as any greater than serious misconduct, not gross misconduct. If the actions were serious misconduct, dismissal would not have been within the range of reasonable sanctions. Some people might be surprised at that judgment. Some people might not.
Yeah, that's true.
Some people might not be interested.
Yeah.
And what about, so that wasn't the end of it though, was it? Then there was a remedy hearing. It was
a remedy hearing, and the claimant wanted to be reinstated to his former job, didn't he? Did he get it?
He did, didn't he? He's been ordered to be reinstated.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, I suppose we can only assume that will be abided by the respondent. But yeah, unusual to see reinstatement being either sought or granted.
Yeah, and I think he got some money as well, didn't he?
Yeah. So as with any other reinstatement, he got lost earnings between the date of the termination and the date of his reinstatement, plus basic award as well, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I think if that's right. Yeah. No. I think he got an award, and then he got. I think there was a bit in the 6th of July where he got a new job or something. I think, and then he got. Weekly damages between that and reinstatement. So he got money is the short answer.
Absolutely. But yeah, there was obviously an argument about reinstatement. The respondent didn't want the tribunal to order that, which won't make him particularly look forward to his first day returning to work, no. I imagine. But yeah, he was entitled to ask the tribunal for it, and he got it.
So well played. It'd be interesting to see now if he goes back, if driver A plays pranks on him.
Probably.
And yeah. See how he likes that.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go. So the lesson in all of that, I think, is from a claimant's point of view, your employee's point of view, is banter seems to have worked as a defence in this case, but it rarely does. So please don't take this as a green light to be putting tarantula skins or snake skins in your colleagues' work areas or drawers. Yeah.
And also where there is misconduct, there's a world of difference between an employee who flat out denies something and accepts no responsibility for the consequences of their actions and an employee who, certainly from a very early stage, has accepted that perhaps they shouldn't have done what they're alleged to have done and is remorseful and willing to repair relationships where they've been damaged. Now, that won't occur, obviously. That won't necessarily help every employee if you've embezzled £100,000, that's probably not going to help you. But in other cases, particularly where it's about personal relationships, you know, not romantic relationships, but, you know, relationships with colleagues, that can make a huge difference to whether dismissal is going to be within the range of reasonable responses.
Yeah, well, I've just checked the remedy points. So we got £22,571 2022 up until he got a new job on the 7th of July 23, and then he's been awarded £704.99 per week from 7th of July until his reinstatement. And the reinstatement was meant to take place on or before the 19th of January 2024.
So he's probably back at work.
Maybe having the time of his life. Or maybe the employers decided no, they're not going to bring him back and they're going to
pay the consequences
and pay a bit more.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's what's happened.
There we go. So I think that's the end of the podcast. We'll be back next week with more fun and banter. Yeah. Banter-related cases or just plain high quality banter.
Who knows? So thank you very much. Thank you, David.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening. And
bye.
Bye.
Bye.